Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. Have you ever wondered what God thinks of the worship we bring at any given time? In the Common English Bible, Jeremiah 32, verses 39 to 40 says this: I will give them one heart and one mind, so that they may worship me all the days of their lives for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, never to stop treating them graciously. I will put into their hearts a sense of awe for me, so that they won't turn away from me. And you know, even if you sing that praise, and like me, your voice isn't as good as Pavarotti or Celine Dion, for examples, I'm sure that when we start to sing his praises, the angels sing along and make our ramblings something beautiful to him. Please stand and join us.
When we start to sing your praises, do the angels sing along? Does it turn our earthly singing into a beautiful song? We want to praise your holy name now and through eternity. And will the angels sing along to bring you the glory? Glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. The Holy Spirit lives within and gives us all the words. May the singing come from our hearts. Always worship you. When we start to sing your praises, do the angels sing along? Does it turn our earthly singing into a beautiful song? We want to praise your holy name now and through eternity. And will the angels sing along to bring you the glory? Glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you have put the Holy Spirit in our hearts so we can bring to you all the praise we can offer. We ask you move among us now and bless each part of this service and our lives. Help us to come and behold you, the only one and only King, because you are a holy God. Please remain seated as we sing this next song. If at any time you feel you want to stand, please feel free to.
Who else commands all the hosts of heaven? Who else could make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? What other splendor outshines the sun? What other majesty rules with justice?
Notices. First up this morning, I have a heartfelt thank you from Marge and the organising committee for the fair yesterday. I don't know who's recovered from yesterday, but it was an awesome day. It really was. The weather was just about perfect. No, it was perfect. It was. It wasn't too hot, wasn't too cold. The sun was right. There was no, hardly any breeze. And we had lots of people come through and just enjoy the community outreach that we offered to our to the people around us. And we're privileged to be able to minister that. I'm sure you would all like to know how much was made. Well, I can tell you there are still just a few minor things that need to be fixed up. We've got some stuff out there on the tables left over from yesterday. So that will be added to the amount that I tell you in a moment that we've made. And we've got a few little expenses and stuff that need to be paid in the meantime. But according to our acting treasurer, as at this morning, we raised $2,800. Now, that is an excellent achievement considering we were down about three stalls on what we normally have at a fair. So thank you to everyone who put in yesterday, whether it was setting up in here for what's going on, or setting up the marquees, or packing up the marquees afterwards and cleaning the church afterwards. Thank you so much. It was really a good, a wonderful day. So, and lots happened. The men's dinner group, there will be no dinner group this month due to the fact that it would be normally be on Wednesday, the day before Maundy Thursday. So we're not having one this month. The next one will be in May. David would like to mention the Easter services,
please. Yeah, good morning. Can't believe it, it's April already. Palm Sunday is next Sunday. Can you believe that? And then the following weekend is Easter. So our Easter services, Maundy Thursday at 7 p.m, Good Friday morning 9:30, and Easter Day at 9:30. And I'll just give you a little hint about Maundy Thursday. It's going to be kind of a contemplative type of service with about four readings, some music, and some silence. And it's about Jesus' journey and our journey with Jesus from the upper room and the communion of the upper room to the point of betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's about four movements that I'm going to highlight on that evening. So if you're free, come along. I'm not sure how long the service will go for, but it'll go for some time. And as we've done in past Maundy Thursday services, you're free to, once it's finished, you're free to stay and reflect and think some more, pray some more, or leave when it's done. I was going to say something else really profound, wasn't I?
I don't know, were you?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. That'll do.
It's time to take up the offering, and I want to tell you just a little story. Years ago, I always believed that when it came time for the offering, I had to give something of what was in my pocket to show people I was a Christian. Later on in life, I realized that no one in the church gave a second thought to what I gave as offering, but that God was happy with whatever I gave, and it not only meant worldly things like money or whatever, but how much of my life I gave. I realize now that I give all 24 hours a day to service, or to service my Lord, and that any monetary value I give all goes to the furtherment of his kingdom. Please remain seated as we sing a song of complete surrender to Jesus and God as we take up the offering. We're going to sing all five verses of I Surrender All. And I will ask you to stand for the last verse.
I surrender all. Let us give thanks. Gracious and holy God, receive our all, our everything, all in us that is good, and take all in us that is not quite so good. Bless, multiply, and use, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, all. Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day and ask that you will be with us now as we bring our prayers of intercession before you. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up our world to you in the midst of its continuing violence, tragedy, and turmoil. We watch and wait as ceasefires are broken, humanitarian needs become overwhelming, and power struggles continue. But we pray for our own leaders as the elections approach and ask that you grant them wisdom, discernment, and courage as they make decisions which affect the lives of others. And Father, we bring before you the victims and survivors of the recent earthquake in Myanmar. We pray for all the first responders and emergency services who now face massive clean-up tasks. We ask that you give them strength and stamina for the road ahead. And Lord, we do thank you for the success of the market yesterday, for the great weather, and for all those who contributed in any way to its outcome. Lord, we pray for the lonely, the homeless, and those who feel isolated and anxious. We pray for those who are adapting daily to sickness or changes in their lives or mourning the loss of loved ones. We pray for the victims of domestic violence, the unemployed, and those who live without life's basic necessities. We offer our private prayers now for those closest to our hearts. May they know your presence is with them. We pray for our church that we might be successful in the placement of a new minister, and we ask your continued blessing on all our leaders and worship team. We thank you also for the continued success of our pantry, 152. For all these intercessions and those which remain in our hearts, we hold them up to you and ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Please join me now as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, forever and ever. Amen.
We're now going to enter a time of Holy Communion. As an introduction to it, we're going to sing Feed Us Now, Bread of Life. Please remain seated while we sing this, and if you wish, sing along. If not, just meditate on the words, class them as a prayer, and just feel that connection between you and the Creator.
Feed
Been sent upstairs to help with the video. Let's pray. In addition to our prayers of thanks, as we brought our offerings, we offer thanks for these very powerful symbols of bread and wine. And we pray God's blessing on these symbols of bread and wine, that as we share the sacrament, they may become the reality of Christ to each and every one of us. And may the reality of Christ permeate us, body, mind, and spirit, as we share this sacrament. Our Lord, our God, hear our prayers, and may we celebrate sacrament in joy and faithfulness, we ask in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Very often when it comes to the time of celebrating sacrament, I remember the many ways in which sacrament has been celebrated, in which I've been able to participate in some way. And I remember when we were working in Bougainville, doing peace building and trauma counselling at the end of the Civil War, that it was very difficult to celebrate communion quite the way people were used to it, because the rebels had damaged parts of churches. But in particular, they'd smashed the little communion glasses. And they didn't have communion glasses. So sometimes people celebrated communion just with bread. And they were reminded of the blood of Christ. Sometimes they brought a glass of water to church. And they celebrated the blood of Christ. And Miriam, who was our primary translator, wonderful, wonderful, courageous woman throughout the war, said to me, "Malcolm, can you get communion glasses for us and send to Bougainville? And I said yes, and afterwards thought, goodness me, what's that going to cost? But I found plastic communion glasses. And over three postings, I sent hundreds of glasses to Bougainville so those congregations could go on celebrating communion in a way that had become so significant for them. In one of those churches where we celebrated communion and so many other things, they had vases set either side up here in the sanctuary. The vases were shells left over from World War II because the battle between the Japanese and the American forces occurred quite close to that church. What a powerful symbol of the significance of faith in Christ. A powerful symbol. And as we come to worship this morning, we will all remember different celebrations of the sacrament. Let's cherish those memories and give thanks for the people who led us into those beautiful spaces spiritually. We are told that the night before Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, giving thanks to God and offering it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat this. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this and remember me." Likewise, after supper, he took a cup, and again he gave thanks to God, saying to his disciples, "Take, drink this, all of you. This is the new covenant, shed, sealed in my blood. Take and drink this. Do this often. Do this often." I don't know whether you've ever been to a retreat which is led by Catholics where you have communion twice a day. I thought it was a bit odd, first of all. But I can cherish it very, very much. Let us all cherish this celebration of the sacrament. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, guide us and bless us as we receive. Enrich us in your body and blood. Enrich us in the power of your Spirit. And do in us and through us that which is your will. We ask in Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us. Cleanse us. Set us free from our burdens, and set those whom we have burdened free from what we've done to them. And Lord, may we feel your Spirit mightily upon and within us in this sacrament. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Those who are going to help serve with the sacrament, please come forward. Go in peace and serve the people of God. we take and eat and feed on him in our hearts with thanksgiving. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go and serve the people of God. Go and do it. This is the new covenant shed in Christ's blood. We take and drink. Lord, cleanse and empower us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Almighty and loving God, we treasure this time of sacrament. Serving and being served, loving and being loved, of being together, being a community, and being truly ourselves. Lord, we give you thanks and praise. May we take this sacrament in all that we do in this coming week, we pray through Christ our Lord.
Our first reading today comes from John 12, and Mary anoints Jesus. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly ointment of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, whom was to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money box and used to take what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." And then the second reading from Luke 7, a sinful woman forgiven. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair of her head. and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, what is it, teacher? A certain creditor had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he forgave them both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, to whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the word of the Lord.
You will have sensed that I'm focusing this morning on some of the women in the New Testament. But first of all, I want to talk about Miriam, a dear lady whom I love dearly in Bougainville. She's just recently turned 65. And she and her husband, both ministers in the United Church in Papua New Guinea, were separated during the Civil War in Bougainville. And Tim was in Booker, and Miriam was down in the Siwai region in the southwest of Bougainville. And her children were with her. And occasionally there were opportunities for people to get out of the Siwai region and get away and get back home. And Miriam tried and tried and was always refused. And eventually she said to the people who were getting arranging for those who were being released to get on the planes, she said to them, look, my husband is in Booker and I haven't seen him for many months and he's a very sick man. I need to go. So they put Miriam and the children on the plane. And the children said, Mama, you taught us never to tell lies. And Miriam said, I know. I lied. I'll have to sort that out with God sometime. And when they got back to Booker, they found that Tim had been desperately ill and close to death for some time. And he was being nursed back to life again. Miriam is one of the truly brave women that I've encountered in ministry. And as I said before, I love her dearly. But time for revision in the classroom. What was the last thing we talked about last Sunday? Love is a choice, that was part of it. But I asked a question. Who preaches the best sermon? You do. And you do it every moment of every day of your life. in our words, our actions, our attitudes. I listened to bits and pieces of programs on the radio as I drive around, and I sometimes wish that I had the chance to hear the lot. But on the ABC music show with Andrew Ford, I heard the other day an African musician being interviewed, and Andrew asked the question, well, when you begin to compose something new, what are you thinking about? How do you prepare? Where do you start? And he said, I start each task with the attitude that here I am a beginner. I start from scratch. And you know, in saying that, he has paraphrased some very important words of Jesus. Now, can you think of what those words might be? I'm giving you a hard time, aren't I? Unless you change and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Be fresh, humble, unpretentious, non-judgmental, trusting, open-minded, vulnerable. That's being childlike. So let's come in that attitude as we look at these passages that Bill read. And might I say, the way Bill has started back here in the church, it's as if he's been here forever, isn't it? It's wonderful. Mary and Martha are in the home of Lazarus. Martha serves a meal, and Mary gets a jar of very expensive perfume, in weight about a pound, 453 point something grams, if you're up with the whatever. It was expensive. And he anointed Jesus, and he wiped him with her hair. And Lazarus protested. That money could care for the poor. And as you saw, heard in the reading, Lazarus wasn't one to care for the poor. He cared more for himself. He handled the money. He was a bit of a thief. Not only that, it was utterly improper for a Jewish woman to let down her hair in public. So she'd really mucked up twice, hadn't she? No. Jesus says, leave her alone. She bought it for my burial. And here we have Jesus acknowledging in this woman special gifts. She was perceptive. She had insight. She was unashamed. She was vulnerable, and she offered spontaneous service. You know, there are times when Jesus got very frustrated with his disciples. I don't think you'll find this in any of your translations, but Jesus clearly said on occasion, "You guys are a bit thick." You may remember a father brought his epileptic son to Jesus. And the father said, your disciples couldn't heal him. And Jesus said in exasperation, how long do I have to put up with you? He was frustrated at the disciples. He was frustrated at their lack of faith and said so. He was frustrated about their lack of spiritual growth. And you remember the story of blind Bartimaeus? And the crowd yells out to him, "Be quiet," when he heard that it was Jesus. "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Be quiet, be quiet." We don't know, but none of the three gospel writers who tell this story say that the disciples said anything in support of Bartimaeus. If I said, who was the doubter in the New Testament, you would know immediately, wouldn't you? Thomas, yes. What about Peter walking on the water? He suddenly started going down because he doubted. His faith failed and he sank. And then by the fire, he fulfilled the prophecy and denied Jesus twice. And yet Peter was a significant leader in a male-dominated world. Let's come back to have a look at these women again, who played such a powerful part of Jesus' life and ministry. At the day of the resurrection, the two Marys, Mary and Mary Magdalene, went to the tomb. And they had the vision of the angel saying, "He's not here, he has risen, he's gone. Prophecy has been fulfilled." And then Jesus met them. And he said to them, "Do not be afraid. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee and I'll meet them there." And we have that beautiful scene of the first people encountering Jesus being the women. And Mark makes a point of saying the women met Jesus, the risen Jesus, before the men. He makes the point that at first the disciples didn't believe. And Jesus then appeared to the disciples and scolded them for their lack of faith. Women play a highly significant role in the ministry of Jesus. Yes, he had the 12 disciples, but the women were there all the time playing a very significant role. Because Jesus' ministry was somewhat rebellious. It was transformative. And he affirmed women so strongly. And you might have ticking over in your mind, in your biblical memory, somebody who said women should be silent in the churches. Oh, you know that bit, don't you? Paul, yes. But Paul used women extensively in his ministry. Did you know that? So why did Paul say, I would like the women to be quiet? I don't let women speak. There were very, very strong cultural issues. Here was a new group in the world that was working very hard to gain credibility and to introduce the risen Christ to people of the then known world. And whether it was Roman society or Greek society or even Jewish society, for a woman to speak out in public was utterly shameful. And I believe that Paul was saying, we as Christians have to be very, very careful and not provoke enmity and not kick up the dust in the face of prevailing cultures. And he went on to use women extensively in his ministry. Now, every woman here would be very sad that she wasn't given the name Tryphena or Tryphosa, aren't you? I don't know whether you remember Euodia or Syntyche. In Sunday school, we used to call them odious and soon touchy. Women working in the gospel from the time of Christ right through the time of Paul. And there are many times when God gives a message to women for men to learn from them. It should not be a one-way street, it should always be a two-way street. When Paul writes of the gifts, the spiritual gifts in Corinthians, he does not say that those gifts are restricted to men or limited to men. They are for all people. And Judy and I used to have a wonderful, wonderful lady, and she said, if the gifts are there, I want every one of them. And she wasn't greedy or disrespectful. That was just her way of saying, I want to be as much a part of the Christian community and Christian ministry as anybody else, because the Bible says I can be. I think it also says, the Bible says women must be. They must be. And if you read the story of the gift of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, it's given to men and women. And even worse, it's given to foreigners. Have you ever been on Bible readings for Pentecost Sunday and dreaded all those big names, Phrygia and Pamphylia and all of those? Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well, remember? And do you remember what she said when she went back into the town? I met a man who told me everything I'd ever done. And being told everything that she had ever done was an anointing, an ordination to go into town and minister to people. Her ministry started when she went back into town, and she was a despised woman. Husbands, divorces. She was out in the middle of the midday sun getting water from the well because no one else would be going out at that time of day. She was despised. And yet Jesus chose her to be the entree to the city of the Word of God. I love the story of Jesus stepping in when there are people wanting to stone a woman. Now, I'm not ghoulish in any way whatsoever. She was considered an unclean, unhealthy, wicked woman. Now, do you remember what Jesus did and said? Yes, he picked up a stone and he held it out to these men, passing judgment, saying, which one of you is without sin? You? You? Which one of you? Because if you're without sin, here's the stone. You have the privilege of being the first one to throw it. Can't you imagine it? Even today, we hold dreadful attitudes to women who have, in our view, sexual relationships of the kind of which we don't feel comfortable or we disapprove. There's much less said about the guys involved. They tend to get off scot-free. So what do we do about all of this in our lives as Christians, in our witness? One of the gifts that I mentioned that the women had right at the beginning in the story of Mary and Martha was that one of the gifts that women have is that they are courageous, very courageous people. Courageous in all sorts of ways. Can you think of an outstandingly courageous Australian woman, please? Hazel Hawke. Julia Gillard. I'm thinking of a nurse. Bullwinkle, yes. Her courage, and if you don't know about her courage, please Google it. Her courage under the face of Japanese wanton slaughter of nurses in World War II. Sorry? Mary MacKillop. Judy and I lived in the southeast for 10 years, so we heard a lot about Mary MacKillop. And you see a lot about her if you go to the Panola area. You know, she was kicked out of the Catholic Church for a while because she was a woman doing stuff that women weren't supposed to do in the Catholic Church. What a heap of nonsense. Fortunately, that was corrected. Fortunately. Any other Australian women who stand out to you and you want to affirm this morning? Quentin Bryce. Yes. Now, do you remember who Quentin Bryce was? Governor General. And she was such a down-to-earth, beautiful person. And I'll tell you the other thing that I loved about Quentin Bryce. She knew how to get up to mischief. And sometimes she got up to mischief and brought a few blokes down to earth. I love that about her. Yeah. But we have women who have been champions and heroes much closer to us. Yvonne Goolagong. Yes. Anyone in our families?
My mum.
Your mum. My mum. My mum was both mother and father to three kids while Dad was at the war. Dad came home ill, and Mum was mother and father to three kids and a very, very sick man. Our mums, yes. Anyone have a sister who's a hero? You may do, yes. You know, one of the things that I get a bit frustrated with is those who advocate for equality between men and women. You know, men and women are not equal. We are just so different, we can't possibly be equal. We need equal opportunity, maybe. When I learned principles of teaching children in teachers' college, we were taught about individual differences. And this child needs totally different opportunities from this child. It is not favoritism, it is not inequality, it is justice. And one of the worst things that we have done throughout history is to treat women with injustice, to degrade them, to use them and abuse them. On the radio, the little snippet of radio I heard as I was driving to church this morning, an Aboriginal historian was talking about massacres of Aboriginal men. They weren't human. They had no right to be here. It's our country. But the men thought the Aboriginal women were all right for sex. How hideous and immoral an attitude we have in our heritage. Jesus had an inclusive and radical ministry. And it was his radical ministry in many ways that got him killed. Paul, believe it or not, had an inclusive and radical ministry. It's not so easily seen, but it's there. It's there. And as I've read through these and many, many other passages in the last couple of weeks, I've been challenged to have a more radical and more inclusive ministry. Now you might think, well, good thing he's retired, we won't have to put up with him for much longer. But seriously, are we prepared to take up a radical, different, opposing position to the ongoing flow of things? For women, for children, for people of other cultures, for people of different abilities. It's a principle that just doesn't apply to women, but it applies to every human being that we meet. I think most of you understand that I have a particular love for dogs. And I saw a cartoon recently which said a dog was saying, and they do talk, a dog was saying, I wish my human would love other humans the way I love him. You saw a dog's love a few weeks ago, and you heard about it. That dog's love is working because I got an email last night saying, please, we need Elton in the medical library for the next 3 weeks if you can, because the students are having exams. He's done that before. And I also got another email over the weekend. We have permission, if it suits you, to take Elton into the short stay section of the psych ward. Could Elton come in next Wednesday at 12:30? After much consideration, I said yes to both. Come to me, all you who labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and my love and sacrifice is for all people. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we know we don't measure up, and we struggle with many issues, but may we struggle, wrestle, think, argue, read, pray with a gracious and an open spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to finish our service today with a bright, happy song, which does require a little bit of interaction with you people. And all it requires is... we're going to sing Shine, Jesus, Shine. And when you get to that point where it goes, shine on me, you know the tune. Let's sing.
Send forth your word, Lord, and let
Ken, can we sing that chorus to conclude our worship?
Shine, Jesus, shine.